We're back to a series we started in September, actually, simply called Disciples. There's a security alert. Be careful. Look out. Big brother watching. And at the time, we were talking about the basics of discipleship. We also, at that same time, were clarifying our discipleship pathway. So it may or may not come. What's going on? Hi. Are we interacting now, you and I? Okay, no worries. So we talked about who we are and what we do at a very high-level bird's-eye view thing, and then we went down and talked about the ground-level stuff of our discipleship. We talked about the confidence we can have in God through Jesus Christ. We talked about knowing God through His Word and knowing Him by experience. We talked about being imitators of God, and on that basis, imitating Him, knowing Him that way by shared experience. And if we had this really cool diagram, I could tell you that it would be part of the knowing God piece on our pathway. We'll get it. I'm confident. It's good. And we talked about then how God gave us His Word and how we would use it, how to pray, and how to worship as that next step in the pathway, which we call grow. So there's no grow, show, go. Do you remember me saying to you back in September, it might be easier to remember it if you think of it and say it like you would a samurai warrior? Do you remember that? No grow, show, go. Like that? Do you remember that? Are you with me? Am I on? Okay. Good. Okay, great. I'd like to follow up a bit this morning on the very last topic, which is worshiping God. Back on November 22nd, we said that we ascribe worth to God, which is a way of saying worship God, through praise, which is our enthusiastic expressions of love and adoration to God, including, but not, this isn't exhaustive, but including saying thanks, singing worship songs. It could be just a humble, quiet, heart-bursting moment of recognizing, as I think Kevin demonstrated this morning, that God is at work and at play in our lives, and we're dependent upon Him. Are we there? Dare I look back? There it is! Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for persevering back there. That was like a virtual army of guys descended back there. Thanks. Takes a village to raise a PC. Okay. We said that we worship God through the choices that we make. We said that we worship God by serving Him. I want to take some time this morning to camp on that very first point, our enthusiastic expressions of love and adoration. And specifically, I want to give us some time this morning and thought to how we do that here on Sunday mornings, very specifically. To that end, and you can find this in your bulletin, I have, along with our worship leaders, and sort of at their encouragement, put together a very brief worship survey. I'm going to ask you to take this out right now, actually. It's on a white piece of paper. If you don't have one, or I'm going to ask Stephanie and your co-helper, I'd like everyone who can to just fill one out. This is sort of our way of gauging where we're at and how we can help. I'm going to take that one. Thank you. We're not collecting anything yet, though. But if you need a survey or a writing stick, Stephanie and or Rick will be around to help you with either one. What I'm going to do, this is so important to us as worship leaders, is I'm going to walk through this with you, and then at the end give you a minute or two to fill it in. I know that's going to take a lot of time to do, 5 minutes kind of thing, but we think it's worth it. So if you have it in front of you now, if you'd read along with me just so you're clear. Actually, put your hand up if you do not have a survey in your hand of your own. See, now that would have been a helpful question right at the start. So, Rick, I'm going to take half of those, and I'm going to help you out. Okay, hands up nice and high if you do not have a survey. Good, good. A writing utensil? Keep your hand up if you need a writing utensil. There you go. Good. Whoops, you got it. Good. Two. Oh, that was peace sign. I got it. Okay. Sorry, Ellie. Okay. Do we have any more surveys? Bring them back here then, if you wouldn't mind, Steph. Thanks. How's that? How's the arm? This is just a workout, basically, right now. At some point, you're like, oh, I need some Advil or something. Hands up nice and high if you need writing sticks and or surveys. Writing stick right here. Can I get a pencil? Thank you. There you go. Look at that's like a golf. This is like mini golf, eh? I love these things. Anybody else need a pencil? Writing stick? Incoming. Right in the eye. Not good, but we're trying to be efficient. Going deeper, a Sunday morning worship survey, right? So on more Sunday mornings than not, would you say that your experience, I'm reading from the top now, would you say that your experience of our communal praise and worship is fully engaged, Christ-centered, and a blessing to you and the church? If yes, then awesome. Keep at it. All right? If it isn't, then would you help us identify any barriers or distractions that keep you from fully engaging in Sunday morning worship? Here's the heart of your worship leaders. The heart of your worship leaders is to say this to you. While we are together, what can we do to help each other go as deeply as possible and focus intently on the God who loves us and makes us? Okay? That's their heart. So some of, circle the letters and or any specifics per letter of those things that apply to you. So maybe these things are a bit of a distraction to you or a barrier of some sort. Just let us know, and we'll feedback to you when we can on this. Song selection. So there's examples there of things in the bracket that might be somewhat distracting for you. Sound. It's hard to hear or it's too loud. Visuals. The song lyrics don't match the lead or the song lyrics are hard to read. The font needs to be bigger. Like whatever. Concern or worry about what the people around you may think. I think Kevin actually alluded to that this morning. The affect of the worship team or the affect of those around you. Now, by affect, what I mean is this. This is affect. When I have a nonverbal that communicates something to you that's really clear. So here would be sort of an I don't care affect. We all have teenagers, those of us that do, and we know what this affect is, right? It's the I don't care. Or the in the pockets, the looking down. That could be your affect out there. The affect up here could be we're concentrating on playing the music. It could be we're too happy, or whatever the affect might be, right? If that's a barrier or distraction, that's what we're looking for. Talking around you during the service in worship music or in prayer or whatever it might be. The order of the service. And by that we mean this. Our liturgy, if you like, is... two songs to start, worship, welcome, offering, another worship package, and then teaching, and then another worship song to close. That's our liturgy. We like it, I think, but maybe you would prefer something different. Let us know that, maybe. children in the service. I could easily have put two children not in the service, because that could be, you might want them here, right? And any other pieces, okay? Using the above information as a guide, please make one suggestion as to how our Sunday morning worship leaders might help you engage in worship more fully. Again, if you said to yourself, you know what, I'm engaged. I come in and they bring it and I'm able to enter in really easily and the surround is really cultivating a good space, then you probably have not much to contribute other than keep going, be encouraged. As always with these kinds of things at Crossroads, we have a place for your name and some contact. And email is probably the easiest for those of us in that world in worship leading and, in my case, teaching. We're not asking you to put it on there if you don't want to, but it's pretty helpful if we'd like to follow up in a conversation which would clarify, what did you mean by that? Oh, okay, thank you, that's helpful. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes to fill it out, and then... As you do, would you just fold it in half and maybe move it into the aisles? So from this side here, you can go to that aisle, push it down. and these guys into the middle here, and this section into the middle on that aisle as well. Okay? Are there any questions? All right. Then, Kevin, where are you? Kevin Beagle. This is, oh, never mind. We have ambient survey fill-in music. It's good. I'll give you a minute or so to do that. And then Chad, just so you're aware, we're going to go to that video next. You know, I'll come by. To see your name spread to the ends of the earth. I've got something to share. That you give, that the lost may be saved. And just so we're clear, there are two ways to fold this. I don't want to be judgmental, but this is wrong. Okay, so don't do that. Can I read your input to the, with, okay, so this was from Al. He says, keep up the great work. The electric guitar should be extremely loud. So if you could take the survey a little more seriously than that, that would be super. Yeah, you know what? If you have pencils, you can move them down. Thanks, Ray. Why don't we take them up now then? If you keep it and hand it in later, I think we know how that usually works. We are really well intended around giving it later, but oh, I forget, right? So that's why we're taking the time now to do it. And hopefully that was enough time. There's hopefully not a whole lot you need to write further. While they're being collected, I am going to segue nicely into our next piece by sharing a video. But again, hey, Russ, can I get you to go back to that back panel there and turn off this bank of lights here? And I'll get you when you're ready, Chad, as soon as the lights are out, to show that video. You're going to like this. This is a video that you sent me, one of you sent me, whose name is Doug Epp. We are not a business or an organization or a club. We are a living, growing organism, the health of which depends on each of us doing our part towards our own spiritual health for the benefit of each other. As someone once said, it takes the whole body to minister to the whole body. The Bible talks about the church as a flock whose shepherd is Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. In Jesus' time, you may not know this, shepherds did not drive their flock from behind as if it's in front and they're, go! But they went ahead, calling the flock to follow. The sheep learned to recognize their own shepherd's voice and wouldn't ever follow a stranger. So at this time, I'd like to share another video that one of you sent me by way of illustrating this relationship between sheep and shepherd perfectly. And I'm going to show it to you with this warning in it, and it is this. You will hear a voiceover off camera that's going to exclaim at least three times to my recollection, oh my God, which might sound irreverent or offensive for some, but for this morning, for the sake of this illustration particularly, it might just as well be to think of it as very ironic for what we're picturing. So this is a clip that my friend Ray Simbalock sent me quite a while ago, and I'll have you show that second video now if you would, and the lights off is better, so.
One more time.
Oh,
Something. When we are, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are his sheep. This said, learning to hear his voice, that clearly takes time, doesn't it? Especially because there are so many other voices in our culture competing for our attention. Principally, I would argue, and we'll look more at this next week, here in Canada, in BC, the voice of the marketplace, which we would call the siren of consumerism. But don't you want to be able to shut out those other voices, just like the sheep in the video? Don't you want to only clearly hear and quickly respond to the voice of Jesus? I do. And we will, more and more, as we absorb God's word, as we pray, as we worship together, as we do life together, as family, as flock, as body. And as we continue to practice two ordinances in this family. And they are baptism and communion. Baptism is, I'll describe it this morning for our context, our family initiation. And communion is our family memorial. Jesus told his disciples to make disciples, which of course implies that we ought to be baptized if we're his disciples. Not to make us family members or to secure our salvation, for instance, but to make it known that we are saved and that we are part of this family. Our membership in the family, this body, this flock, is singularly predicated upon the work of Jesus Christ and our subsequent faith in that work and in him. As John describes in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, who is Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Baptism, then, is like, it's like a wedding ring. It's an outward symbol of the commitment we make in our hearts. In this case, the commitment we make to Jesus. It looks back to the death of Christ as enough to heal us of our sins, and to his resurrection as God's seal of approval on Christ's saving work as being sufficient. It's a present day reality when we respond to the command to be baptized, which actually then demonstrates a step of faith and our confidence in this new way of living in relationship with the one whom we placed our faith in. It's a commitment to the future, free to live in Christ because we are dead to sin. So a couple of questions just to clarify. Who should be baptized? Anyone who has received Christ as his Lord and Savior. Anyone who is a believer. When should we be baptized? Anytime. For instance, believers were baptized the same day they expressed their personal commitment to Jesus. This is found, this story, in Acts chapter 2. Around 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. Philip baptized a eunuch on the side of the road when he placed his faith in Christ. Not a long stretch of time to prove his faith, but right there and then as he understood what he did and placed his faith in Christ as far as he understood. Paul baptized the jailer the same hour of the night that he believed, which I believe was midnight. You can find that story in Acts chapter 16. If you're a believer, then there's no reason to delay. Baptism is not for perfect people, but it is for redeemed people. How should we be baptized? Well, speaking for Crossroads, we baptize by immersion. Here's what we think. The Greek word for baptism used in the scriptures means literally to dip or to immerse. Secondly, it seems to be the pattern of the scripture. John the Baptist baptized in the Jordan. Why? Because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. That story is in John chapter 3. When Philip baptized the eunuch, both went down into the water where Philip baptized him. As if to say, if it was only sprinkling, he would just take a handful of water. Now, as I say that, it's no disrespect to any other traditions that do what they do. This is how we understand it here at Crossroads. And it also seems to best represent our identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Falling into the water, which pictures our death. Being immersed in the water, which pictures our burial. And coming up out of the water, which pictures our resurrection. If you haven't been baptized and you are a believer, I want to invite you to do so. Plain and simple. Please contact me to let me know if you're interested. And maybe there are others who would join us, and then maybe we have a baptismal service in the springtime. And then there's communion, which we are going to celebrate really shortly. Have you ever wondered why Jesus asked us to remember his death and not, for instance, his birth? As if one is slightly more important than the other? I don't know. I know we celebrate his birth, and I think we should, but isn't it interesting that he didn't instruct us to do so? Instead, he instituted a memorial service, not to be done once, like baptism, but to be practiced repeatedly. So how often? Well, the Bible doesn't specifically say. Though we could argue daily, if we take the model of Acts chapter 2, where the Bible says that the new believers met every day and they broke bread together, depending how you interpret broke bread. And you could perhaps make the argument weekly would be good too, as the early church seemed to do on the first day of the week, and we read about that in Acts chapter 20. But practices vary from church to church. Our practice is to do it regularly. Here's what we know for sure. That we should celebrate communion often until the return of Jesus Christ. And here's why. It constantly reminds us of what Christ did for us. And I think we need those reminders. I know I do. He gave his life, literally his body and blood in our place, so that his perfection could be what would heal our imperfection. So that we could be dead to sin and alive in Christ, to live this life abundantly and to live with God eternally. It's a visible reminder of our, theologically speaking, our covenant relationship with God through Christ's death, and then therefore something meant only for those who have expressed their faith in Jesus Christ. Like baptism, it's a witness. It's a public expression of our dependence upon Christ's death for our acceptance with God. As we take the bread and juice together, we are saying there is no other way for our sins to be forgiven than through the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Your love for us is awesome. And it's a heads up. So there's this backwards look, there's this current contemporary appreciation, and there's this forward look. Jesus Christ is going to come back someday. Paul says, whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Back, we might add, because he's already come once. Communion gets us to look back to what was accomplished on our behalf, to celebrate the miracle of our salvation here and now, and to look forward to a time to come when everything will be made new. And we will live in that place that Jesus has prepared for us, as he tells us he's doing in John chapter 14. By the way, bread and juice, wafers and wine, flesh and blood, which is it? Why? Here at Crossroads, we don't believe, for reasons that I won't get into this morning, that communion marks the real presence of Jesus Christ in the elements. bodily, at least, or fleshly, or otherwise, as some do, but rather that it marks his physical absence. We also don't believe that real wine is critical to use at communion, because we believe that the bread and juice are just symbols of Jesus' body and blood anyway, and juice is a whole lot cheaper than wine, so it's the Mennonite way probably to do it that way. So, let's take some time to prepare our hearts, as Paul suggests we do, to give thanks for the forgiveness that is ours in Christ Jesus, and to wonder with the Spirit of God where we may need to ask for and give forgiveness to someone else. In a moment, I'm going to send you off to your stations that are there, 1, 2, 3, 4. You're welcome to go on your own with family or friends and pray where you are, but I'll pray for you now. And maybe Kevin, and we'll have some ambient music while that's going on, if that's okay, momentarily. And then Kevin, whenever you're ready, and you think we're ready as a congregation, if you wouldn't mind leading us in the last song, that would be great. Okay? Let's pray.